Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin has told the Shannon that, in his view, Buncrana councillor Eddie Fullerton was assassinated by British operatives of the British state. The Department of Transport has issued a statement today after it was announced €27 million is to be pulled from the A5 to partly cover the cost overrun of the National Children's Hospital. The Cathairna of Donegal County Council has claimed the failure to send a document to Dublin has led to the loss of significant funding for the back of Muckish Road. And it's been revealed that LYIT has one of the highest dropout rates in computing courses. Those stories you follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Hargan coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin has told the Shannon that, in his view, Buncrana councillor Eddie Fullerton was assassinated by British operatives of the British state. Senator McLaughlin was speaking after it emerged that police in the north did not provide all relevant documentation to the police ombudsman in relation to the loyalist murder of five people in a Belfast bookies in 1992. It then emerged the case that may have implications for a number of other incidents, including councillor Fullerton's killing a year earlier. The Fullerton family is seeking a meeting with the Taoiseach, and the Justice Minister will be asked to discuss the issue in the Shannon. Senator McLaughlin told the Shannon today that this is a very serious development.
The weapons used were taken from a South African shipment brought into Ireland by the British MI5, given to Unionist paramilitaries who then worked in cooperation with British operatives to kill elected representatives on the island of Ireland. But what must be of the utmost concern to our government is, whatever about the concerns for the north of Ireland, there's an elected representative from County Donegal, a member of Donegal County Council, a member of Buncrana Urban District Council, that in my opinion was killed by British operatives of the British state. Now, I am asking that the request by the family of Eddie Fullerton to meet with an Taoiseach is agreed to as soon as possible. That the failure of the PSNI to provide all the documentation to the police ombudsman about covert police operations that has delayed the publication of this report, that this matter is treated urgently. And on that note, Acting Leader, I'm asking that the Minister for Justice, Charity Flanagan, come before this House next week at the earliest opportunity and make a statement from the Irish Government in response to the serious developments today, but in particular the need to reassure the family of Councillor Eddie Fullerton about all of this.
Meanwhile, the PSNI say they are committed to being open and transparent with legacy investigations into the troubles. They have blamed human error on equipped staff and archaic computer systems. The Department of Justice has been asked to start an independent review. Deputy Chief Constable Stephen Martin described the findings as a failure and outlined how police intend to show they aren't obstructing investigations.
And in a bold move, and to demonstrate our transparency and our desire to be open with people, we're saying to the Ombudsman, we will give you full, free, unfettered access to all our legacy systems. You will have complete control. As if you were a member of our own staff, you will be able to go and you will be able to look at all our materials and decide what's relevant.
The Department of Transport has issued a statement today after it was announced earlier this week that €27 million in funding was to be pulled from the A5 to partly cover the cost overrun of the National Children's Hospital. However, today the department has moved to clarify that no transport project has been affected by the cost overrun and that the A5 has not been delayed due to these costs, but rather delays of the project are due to happenings in Northern Ireland. Donal Kavanagh has more.
In a statement today, the department says an unavoidable postponement in the development of the A5 due to legal challenges on the northern side means the department will save €27 million in the government's budget this year. The government remains committed to providing funding of £75 million for the construction of Phase 1A of the project, new buildings to north of Strabane. The department says that provision has been made in its budget for this funding to be provided in three tranches over 2019, 2020 and 2021. However, it's now understood that late 2019 is the earliest that construction could start, and in the event of a further legal challenge, it could be early 2020. Concluding, the department says that the A5 project goes ahead, and this is merely a timing adjustment.
Meanwhile, the government is being urged to re-tender the new National Children's Hospital. The project looks set to cost €1.7 billion, €450 million over budget. TDs have also demanded that Taoiseach crack the Dáil record in relation to statements he made about the board charged with building the hospital. Independent TD Mick Wallace says it's time the project is halted and re-tendered.
Tánaiste, you're talking about learning lessons for the future. Well, I'd like you to learn them for the present. Because I would argue that if you stop now, which you're allowed to do, it's in the terms of the contract, I suggest that you would actually, you could save yourselves in the region of €500 million if you re-tender it.
It's been agreed at the Special Policy Committee on Roads meeting today that all footpaths and roads within council estates be treated as public. In response to a motion put forward previously by Councillor Gerry Crawford asking Donegal County Council to review the process by which works other than repairs to dwellings are carried out in local authority estates, the council said there was need for better clarity. SPCs were then tasked to develop new policies in their designated areas. The proposals agreed today by the Roads SPC will now go before full council and are subject to budget approval. Councillor Crawford says this is a small but significant step.
As happened up until now, there was no direct chain of responsibility on who was responsible for roads and footpaths. Some estates had fell to housing, some estates had fell to roads, other estates nobody knew who was responsible. The council had identified that problem. I raised this at the last month's meeting. They agreed that that problem existed. It was a gaping hole in the council policy, and this is a movement now through the SPC as a result of that motion to try to put a more streamlined position on these problems.
And now, if these proposals are implemented and budget is secured for them, it will help many people who have called for this for some time.
That seems a small step, but it's a very positive step, and it's in a very speedy response to the motion that went through just at the last council meeting, where the Roads SPC has taken on board, and they have proposed that they would be responsible. All the roads within those estates would become public roads, and the footpaths and public lighting they would be responsible for. But there is a procedure in place, and that procedure has started, and it's a very welcome development. There's people in those housing estates who haven't seen work done by the council in some parts of the estate for over 40 years, while other parts may have had work done several times in those 40 years. So it's just a complete inequality that existed within the council estates, and this should be the beginning of the road to right that wrong.
The National Broadband Plan may now be redundant, according to the chair of the Public Accounts Committee. It's meeting with telecoms companies today to discuss the controversial project, which was first introduced in 2012. Concerns were raised that with the advancement of technology, the plan may already be outdated. PAC Chair Sean Fleming believes it makes more sense to allow telecoms providers to deliver fibre broadband to rural Ireland.
So we're now saying that the plan in front of us, there's a chunk of that can be done commercially. So my concern from the department's point of view, how can the department run a competition on the basis we have to get rural broadband to 540,000 houses without contravening state aid rules, and we're going to get a subsidy? And lo and behold, sure, I can do a third of them without any state aid.
New research has revealed that third-level students who study computing are the most likely to drop out, with Letterkenny Institute of Technology recording one of the highest dropout rates in computing courses. Data from the Higher Education Authority shows 39% of students who undertake a computing course at LYIT don't stick with it. President of the LYIT, Paul Hannigan, was reacting to the non-completion rates on today's 9 till noon show. He says while it's an ongoing issue, the figures don't paint a clear picture.
There's two things to the figures. We have a 39% overall non-completion rate, as shown by that. When we break that down into, we have level 6, level 7 and level 8 programs. So level 6 are our two-year higher certificate programs. Level 7 are our ordinary degree programs, and level 8 are our honours degree programs. So for level 6 and 7, we have slightly higher than the national average of just over 40% non-completion there for this cohort. But for the level 8, our non-completion rate is 13%, which is the best in the sector. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to identify why that is the case, but that's a really good performance from our perspective in terms of level 8. We know that this is an ongoing issue in terms of completion, and we have done fantastic work, as I see it, within the institution in terms of trying to deal with this on an ongoing basis. But I'd just like to say, from a personal perspective, you know, I've been dealing with this since the very first day I walked into any Institute of Technology to work. If I had the solution to this issue, I would be a millionaire at this stage.
The Taoiseach has told the Dáil that he's not had any clear briefing about the implications of a no-deal Brexit for car insurance. It's been suggested that people may need international green cards from their insurance companies if driving across the border after March the 29th, but Mr. Varadkar said there's no certainty about the issue. He was answering questions in the Dáil from Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty.
It would appear in 2 weeks' time, if myself and the Leascan Corley want to come to the Dáil in March, we will have had to apply to our insurance company before the end of this month in 2 weeks for a green card. Otherwise, we could be stopped and fined as we travel through the north. Can you indicate, is it the same for motorists that will be travelling from Strabane across the bridge into Lifford? Do they also require documentation? Otherwise, they may be in breach of the rules in terms of their insurance.
On insurance, I'm afraid I don't yet have certainty on the issues that you raise. I'm trying to get a full briefing that I fully understand on it, and I haven't yet, but I do understand that it may be possible for some of the insurance companies to waive the requirement of a green card for a period of time, but that hasn't been bottomed out yet.
The Cathaoirleá of Donegal County Council has claimed the failure to send a document to Dublin has led to the loss of significant funding for the back of Muckage Road, which links the N56 and the back of Errigal Road. Councillor Seamus O'Donnell has accused senior officials of once again showing disinterest in the Glenties Municipal District. He says he met with Minister Shane Ross last year and secured an agreement that money would be provided. However, it's emerged a document which was sought from the council was never sent. As a result, Councillor O'Donnell says the money was lost.
The document was never sent to Dublin, and as a result, the council and the people of this area were not allocated money. And I believe over €500,000 would have been allocated, which would have made a seismic difference to the quality of that road, which is used by people on their commute to Letterkenny on a daily basis, but they didn't bother their backside, which leaves me absolutely sick to my stomach. It disgusts me, the disinterest that is shown to the Glenties Municipal District, and this just shows us again that there is a total and utter disconnect between the senior officials in Lifford and the rural parts of this county, and something has to be done about it.
Have you had a chance to follow up with senior officials and with the chief executive in terms of getting some form of explanation to understand what happened here?
Well, to be frank, I did ring the council senior executives when I received confirmation from the department that there wouldn't be money allocated. I thought it was a situation that possibly a document was lost up around the hall of the department. I was shocked and very saddened and indeed disgusted to find out that the document never left Lifford. It was yet to be posted and the allocation was being made that day, so we lost the money. Councillors in the Glenties Municipal District, outside of myself, want to meet with senior officials within the council. I don't hold much hope for that, because I know that there will be, I suppose, an explanation given to us as to how they didn't or how they couldn't or how busy they were and what have you. This was an open goal with no goalkeeper and a penalty kick to be taken, and they didn't bother taking it. So I'm absolutely frustrated by the lack of interest that they're shown in the Glenties Municipal District.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Make your Shop LK gift card go further with an additional 20% bonus on all Shop LK vouchers.
It's 16 minutes past five and time to latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Starting with soccer, and Republic of Ireland under-18 midfielder Ryan Nolan is in line to make his European debut for Inter Milan this evening. The Shannon-born player has been named on the Serie A side's bench for the Europa League last 32 first leg away to Rapid Vienna. That game kicks off at 5-6, as does Arsenal's tie away to Bate Borisov. Peter Cech, he starts in goal for Arsenal in Belarus, while Alexander Lacazette, he will be leading the line. That game's, as I said, 5-6, and at 8 o'clock, Chelsea, they look to bounce back from their Manchester City humiliation by beating Malmo in the Europa League tonight. The Blues were beaten 6-0 at the Etihad on Sunday, their biggest defeat in 28 years. And Celtic boss Brendan Rodgers, he says Valencia probably see themselves as one of the favourites to win the Europa League. His side host a Spanish team in Glasgow tonight, and Valencia have never kept an away clean sheet against Scottish opposition. But Rodgers knows it'll be a tough task tonight.
A team that will probably see themselves as one that can go quite far in the competition. They're not used to losing. I think, like I say, they've only lost 4 games this season, so the mentality is to win. They've drawn some games. But no, it's a very, very good side, packed with technically gifted players.
That game also starts at 8 o'clock. And meanwhile, it's exciting times again around Fun Park as Fun Harps are set to kick off another season in the SSE Electricity League Premier Division. It starts tomorrow evening with a game away in Dalymount against Bohemians. Captain Keith Cowan says a series of good results would boost confidence within the squad.
A good start is going to breed confidence, you know, and get as many points as they can, other teams included. They, you know, as they said, like, they'll be looking at us as a, as an opportunity to pick up 3 points. You know, it's not the be-all and end-all, but as I says, you know, confidence can be the name of the game, and if we start well, Bohemians away first game, then Dundalk the champions the following game, and then away to St Pat's. So, you know, when you're looking through those fixture lists, you're not, you know, it can be difficult to see where you might pick up points. There are going to be no easy games, but you know, as I say, we have to give everything a shot, and as I say, it is going to be difficult.
Keith Cowan there, Harps away to Bowes tomorrow night, and Derry City, their first game under Declan Devine, who's back at the club. Their first game's at home to UCD also tomorrow night. Meanwhile, Bohemians have added much needed defensive cover ahead of the new SSE Electricity Premier Division season. Aaron Barry has joined on loan from Cork City until July. The 26-year-old made 20 league appearances for Cork last season. Meanwhile, Sligo Rovers have signed striker Ronan Coughlin from Cork City. In other news cross-channel, Jose Mourinho's sacking as Manchester United manager cost the club £19.6 million. The figure has been revealed with the release of the club's half-yearly accounts. Now, the payoff covers both Mourinho and his sizeable backroom staff. Meanwhile, up in Scotland, the union representing professional footballers has submitted a petition calling for artificial pitches to be banned in the Scottish Premiership. Currently, Hamilton, Kilmarnock and Livingstone play on synthetic surfaces in the top flight. Players from the 9 remaining clubs have put their names to the document, but PFA Scotland didn't ask anyone from the 3 other sides to be involved. Moving on to Gaelic games, and it's a big weekend, of course, for Gwydor this weekend. They're playing Corrifin, who are the All-Ireland champions, in the All-Ireland semi-final this Saturday. Throw-on time on Saturday is at 1:30. We'll have live coverage here in Saturday Sport from about 1:15 with Oisin Kelly. So the big news for Gwydor is, or the big thought in Gwydor is, will Gwydor have to change their style of football against the All-Ireland champions? Here's their manager, Mervyn O'Donnell.
We'd be looking more at their style of play now and what they're going to bring. I think both teams kind of play very similarly anyway, like, you know, and both teams are kind of two attacking teams, and again it'll end up being a good open affair by the looks of things. It doesn't seem to be anything too tactical at all now, Tom. It seems to be just everybody's, both teams are going to go at each other, and who's going to be better at the end of the day. But again, their experience of being there is going to be that'll give them that edge on us, and it's just that wee thing that people don't realise, and unless you're there before, it's hard to explain. The gift this game is just massive for us.
Yeah, massive big game for Gwydor against Corrifin on Saturday, 1:30 is the start time at Carrick and Shannon. Moving on to rugby, and Ian Henderson is in line to make his return to the Ireland side for next week's Six Nations game away to Italy. He's been named in Ulster's second row for tomorrow night's Pro 14 encounter with the Ospreys. Henderson had been a doubt for the entirety of Ireland's campaign due to a thumb injury. John Cooney has also been released from the Ireland camp to start at scrum half tomorrow night in Bridgend. And Chris Farrell and Andrew Conway both starting for Munster in their meeting with the Southern Kings at Irish Independent Park tomorrow. Niall Skinnell, John Ryan and Billy Holland are the others freed from the Irish camp to start in Cork. In snooker, there's been a major shock at the Welsh Open. 4-time champion Ronnie O'Sullivan has been beaten in the third round by 4-2 by world number 71 Alexander Ursenbecker. And Mark Allen also suffered a third round exit today, but the world number 6 beaten 4-2 by Ian Burns. Finally, for this evening in golf, Michael Hoy is just 3 shots off the lead after the opening round of the World Super 6 in Perth. The Ulster man's 4 under par following a round of 16. 68. The lead in Karen Up is jointly held by Norway's Christopher Reitan and Miguel Turbina of the Philippines. And Rory McIlroy, he resumes his carefully planned build-up to the Masters at the Genesis Open. That's taking place in Los Angeles this evening. The Ulster man has placed his focus on the far side of the Atlantic in preparation for this year's first major in April. He'll tee off alongside Tiger Woods and world number 4 Justin Thomas in a star-studded 3-ball. Seamus Power's also in action, but round 1 has so far been suspended due to heavy rain. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
And thanks, Kenny. Finally in news, as part of a pilot scheme for 2019, Donegal County Council has proposed additional seasonal portaloos accessible to all be provided at 8 additional beach locations. Currently, there are portaloos accessible to all available at 5 beach locations in the county. The local authority says it's hoped work will be completed before bathing season to provide the additional facilities at Carrickfinn, Downings, Killahoo, Lisfannan, Merva, Port Arthur and Strove. Councillor Micheál Colmogill-Osbaug is hopeful more beaches could be included in a similar project going forward.
Can't see why it can't be rolled out throughout the whole county. I think it's important that we look to facilitate and to work with and to appreciate that not everybody has the same ability, and portaloos are very important. Now, again, we want to be working in certain places to move away from portaloos to more structured facilities. But yes, I hope that this will be rolled out and that the needed funding in the future will be got as well.
For weather now, today will be a mild, dry day with bright or sunny spells. Maximum temperatures of 12 to 14 degrees and mostly moderate south to southeast winds. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin has told the Shannon that, in his view, Buncrana Councillor Eddie Fullerton was assassinated by British operatives of the British state. Senator McLaughlin was speaking after it emerged today that police in the north did not provide all relevant documentation to the police ombudsman in relation to the Loyalist murder of 5 people in a Belfast Bookies in 1992. It then emerged the case it may have implications for a number of other incidents, including Councillor Fullerton's killing a year earlier. The Department of Transport has issued a statement today after it was announced earlier this week that €27 million in funding was to be pulled from the A5 to partly cover the cost overrun of the National Children's Hospital. However, today the department has moved to clarify that no transport project has been affected by the cost overrun. The Taoiseach has told the Dáil that he's not had any clear briefing about the implications of a no-deal Brexit for car insurance. It's been suggested that people may need international green cards from their insurance companies if driving across the border after March the 29th, but Leo Radker says there's no certainty about the issue. And the Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council has claimed the failure to send a document to Dublin has led to the loss of significant funding for the back of Muckish Road, which links the N56 and back of Errigal Road. Councillor Seamus O'Donnell has accused senior officials of once again showing disinterest in the Glenties Municipal District. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for Thursday evening, February the 14th. The death has occurred of Paddy Cannon, Glengesh, Ardra. His remains are reposing at his son Jared's residence at Glengesh, Ardra. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 11:15. Going to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for Requiem Mass at 12 midday. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary both nights at 10 o'clock. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred in Lowestoft, Suffolk, England, of Seamus Congallan, formerly of Mina Goland, Killigordon. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Gráinne Crossan. Viewing at Hillcrest Nursing Home, Letterkenny, today until 7 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, going to relate residence at Pound Street, Dunfanaghy, for viewing from 2 p.m. until 5:30 p.m, followed by removal to the Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, arriving at 6 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass in Holy Cross Church on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Tommy Devaney, Derry LeConnell, Duhery. His remains are reposing at his home in Derry LeConnell, Duhery today, with rosary at 9 o'clock tonight. Removal tomorrow morning at 10:30. Going to St Connell's Church, Duhery, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has occurred of Peter Todd, late of 39A, Lisnacloone Road, Castledurg. Peter's remains will be removed from Lynch's Funeral Home, Castledurg, this evening at 7 o'clock to St Patrick's Church, Ahiarn, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, followed by cremation at Lakelands Crematorium, County Cavan. The death has taken place of Paddy Vaughan, Figgart, Carrigart. His remains are reposing at the family residence. Funeral on Saturday morning to the Church of St John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Remelton Community Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Teresa McElroy, Niamh McCool, O'Hara, 9 Townsend Terrace, Strabane. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral leaving there tomorrow morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock, followed by interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has occurred of Michael Gallen, Patricius, Glen Carr, Letterkenny, and formerly Killy Gordon. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow, going to St Union's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the family plot at Cornwall Cemetery. The house is strictly private, please.